just want to ask you this morning, no matter your battle, no matter your obstacle, no matter the opposition, no matter your circumstances this morning, how do you see it? What do you see when you look out upon it this morning? Let me ask you, do you see it as something that's winnable? Do you see it as something that's changeable? Let me ask you this, do you see it as something that's temporary? Do you see it as something that God can be victorious in? Because we need to see what God sees. Because if we see what God sees, it'll change what we believe. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about the power of our perspective. The power of our perspective. If you have your notes that were in your bulletin, you can pull those out. But they'll be having the verses on the screen. How many of you know that perspective is not what we see, but it's how we see it? It's not what we see, it's how we see it. This is the old example of that. It was going to be a good example until I took the last drink. And but when you look at this right here, when people look at this, we say that people's perspective on this is what? They see it as either being half empty or being half full. Now, when we're looking at it, we're all seeing the same thing, but we have a different perspective on what we see. Do you track with me? What about you parents? Some of you parents ever had a differing perspective than your children? I thought I told you to clean your room. I did. It is clean. We're both looking at the same room. They see it clean and I see it not so clean. We can be looking at the same circumstance. We can be looking at the same situation. We can be looking at the same problem, but we can have a totally different perspective. And it's very important the perspective we have in our life, in our walk with the Lord, because our perspective is tied directly to what we believe. Because how we see it is going to determine how we believe it. Any football fans in here? You're rooting for your team. They're driving down. Clock's running out. The guy dives across the goal line. And you say, it's a touchdown. We're going to win the game. And they say, hold on just a minute. We got to have an instant replay here. And they're like, what are they even questioning it? I know it was a touchdown. I saw him score the touchdown. You're sitting there looking at it. And then they start to go back and then they give you a different angle. They give you a different perspective. And all of a sudden, when you see it from a different perspective, what you believed changes. So it so matters in our life what we see. We've got to be able to see it right if we're going to be able to believe it right. You've heard people say, I've got to see it before I'll believe it. And we think in Christianity that that's not truth, but there is truth. We just got to see it with the right eyes. If we can see it, we can believe it. But the enemy works 24/7, 365 days a year to try to cause our perspective to be on our situation that the glass is half empty. And we believe the glass is half empty when we see it as being half empty. But God wants to help us in our life to have the right perspective. Can you say amen? First point this morning is this. Number one in your notes is this. We need to understand that there's always going to be two perspectives. There's always going to be two perspectives. If you have your Bibles, you could turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a very familiar story, and I'll give you the backdrop on it. The backdrop on it is this, is that the king of Syria has continually tried to get his army to overcome the king and the people of Israel. But every time he tries to make a strategic move, the move is already known by the king of Israel and his armies. So they outflank them, and they inflict damage on the Syrians because they always know what's coming up. So the king of Syria pulls all of his advisors together and all of his top generals together. And he said, who's the mole? Okay, who is it that's leaking this information to Israel? And one of his top advisors said, look, it isn't any of us, but I can tell you who it is. It's that prophet they call Elisha. And what's happening is we meet in secret and we come up with a plan. And how many of you know the enemy has a plan against you? He has a plan against yours, and we've got to live with the knowledge that the enemy does not want us to be victorious. We have to know who our enemy is. But whenever they gathered together to do that, and they would make their plan, he says, then somehow, some way, Elisha is hearing from that thing they call Jehovah God, and he's giving him the information, and then he's going to the king of Israel. And he's telling him where we're going to be and what we're going to do. So he's the problem. It's not us. So the king of Syria said this. He said, we're going to go and we're going to take care of this problem. And I want to pick up there in 2 Kings 6, beginning with verse 12. And this is where the story, we pick it up. It says, and one of his servants said, none of us, Lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Aren't you glad that God knows everything? God knows what the enemy's got planned. God knows what the strategy of the enemy is, and he already has a way out. God's telling him what's going on in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in the city of Dothan. Therefore, this is what the enemy sent. He sent horses and he sent chariots and he sent a great army there. And they came under the cover of night and they surrounded the city and they surrounded the man of God. And I want you to know that some of you are in that same situation today. When you look out in your life, the enemy has dispatched his army against you. He has came and he has laid siege to your life, to your marriage, to your home, maybe your children, maybe your health. And he came in the dark of night and his plan was to come and bring destruction. But I want you to know today that God wants you to know that he already knew the plan of the enemy and he already provided the promise and the way out long before the enemy ever moved. So the next morning, the scripture says that the servant of the man of God, verse 15, the servant of Elisha rose early and he went out, whether he was going to fetch water for Elisha or whatever, he went out of the house and there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And he came back inside and he said, Elisha, what are we going to do? Now, was he deceived or was he seeing things the way they were? He went outside and he went outside. He recognized the enemy because he had been walking with the man of God and he knew what the man of God had been doing. And he walked out there. And when he walked out there, he saw the horses and he saw the chariots and he saw the army. And that was his perspective. He saw what the enemy was prepared to do. He came back inside and he came to Elisha and he said, whatever are we going to do, Elisha? And Elisha answered him and he said, do not fear. Now, Elisha didn't get up out of his recliner or whatever he was doing, out of his prayer closet, likely. He didn't get up. He didn't ask any questions. What did you see? He didn't go to the window and he didn't go open the door to find out what it was that he was also upset about. He knew what he saw. But he said, I don't want you to fear because I've got a different perspective on this whole thing. Those that are for us are more than those who are with them. And I want you to know this morning that those who are with us as the children of God are by far more than those that are with the enemy. And what the enemy has planned for us is not what God intends to be our reality. But we've got to see it from his perspective. So Elisha said, and then Elisha prayed and he said this, Lord, I pray that you would open his eyes that he may see. And I felt like that one of the things God told me for today was this, that God wants to and desperately needs to in many lives in this place this morning to open our eyes to see things from his perspective. That the situation you're in isn't nearly as dark and it's not nearly as dim and it's not nearly as imminent with defeat as you would see it to be because God sees it from a different perspective. Every situation you find yourself in, every obstacle you come up against, every attack that the enemy brings your way, you've got to know there's always two perspectives. There's the servant's perspective and there's the prophet's perspective. There's the natural perspective, what I can see with my eyes, what I can touch with my hands, and there's the supernatural perspective. That's the God's eye view. That's the supernatural view. And Elisha said this, he said, God, I pray that you would open the young man's eyes that he could see. Because he knew he had to see it if he was going to believe it. And God wants to help us to be able to see it in the supernatural. God wants us to be able to see it in the spirit realm. God wants us to be able to see it through the eye of faith. Because if we can see it the way God sees it, how many of you know we can believe it and we can see it turn? It says, then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And what he saw was what Elisha had been seeing. And that was that the mountain was full of not just horses and chariots, but horses and chariots of fire. So would you rather have horses and chariots or horses and chariots of fire? Do you want the 4 foot tall guy on your side or do you want the 10 foot guy tall guy on your side? When his eyes were open, he saw more than horses and chariots. He saw supernatural help. He saw supernatural power. He saw the angels of God that were at the ready. And what just a moment ago when he looked at it, looked like it was half empty. Now he saw that thing as being half full. And what he saw was what looked like certain defeat was certain defeat, but it wasn't for them. It was for those who had risen up against them. In every circumstance, there's always a natural and there's a supernatural perspective. As believers, we have to know that. Elisha and his servant both had the same view, but they had two different perspectives. How can that be? You remember the story of Samuel when God told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse and because he had rejected Saul as being king. And when he got there, he had asked Jesse to bring all of his sons and line them up in the house. And remember, Samuel comes in as the man of God. He comes into the house and immediately his eyes are fixed on Eliab, who was the oldest and the most handsome and the most strong. And from all appearances, he said out of his mouth, surely this must be the king. And in that passage of scripture, God said, hold on. Our perspectives aren't lining up here. He said, he's not to be king. He said, I don't look at things the way man looks at things. He said, you look at the circumstances. You look at the outward appearance. He said, but I look beyond that into the spirit. I look beyond that into the man's heart. See, the way we gain God's perspective is we got to know what he's looking at. We got to get our eyes off what we can see, and we got to get our eyes on what it is that God is seeing. Another version of that verse, the NIV says it like this. It says, the Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. How many of you know it matters what we look at? It matters what we look at. God doesn't look at the same things that we look at. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And if we're going to walk in his purposes, we're going to have to know his ways. We're going to have to know his plans, and we're going to have to gain his perspective in our lives. How many of you here this morning would agree that for every problem that we encounter, God has already provided a promised way out? He's already provided a promised way out for every problem. The problem with us is we tend to look at the problem. We magnify the problem. We look at the problem. And when we look at the problem and our perspective is on the problem, how many of you know then we're not looking at the promise? God's perspective is you got to quit magnifying the problem and you got to start magnifying the promise. Do you remember Peter when Peter was in the boat and he was in an intense storm? He was in an intense storm. Let me just stop and say this. I said this in early service. I don't know why I'm saying it. It's not real profound, but this is not a fairy tale. This either works or it don't. It's either true or it's not. And listen, if it's not, we're wasting a lot of our time. But it is true. And it's not a fairy tale. And it will work every time. And so why not get it all? Why not get it going for us? Why not get this perspective in our life? Why not understand that the things we come up against aren't meant to dictate our lives, but this is meant to cause us to be more than conquerors? When Peter was in the boat and they were about to sink and they saw what they thought was a ghost and it was Jesus. And you know the whole story. And he's like, Jesus, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. One word from Jesus allowed a man to do something that had never been done before. He was able to rise above all natural circumstances and he was able to walk on water. Anybody else in here walked on water recently? Well, I think we've all walked on water recently, right? In water. Been a lot of water recently. What did he do? Let me ask you this. Was there wind before Jesus said come? Were there waves before Jesus said come? Was the boat like this? But still in all of that, he had his eyes on Jesus. And with his eyes on Jesus, he stepped out of the boat and he began to defy all natural circumstances and laws. Do you know that's what the supernatural is all about? That we can rise above the natural. We can come to a whole nother place in our life. And that the supernatural is more real than the natural. And as he had his eyes fixed on Jesus, who is our promise. How many know he's our promise? He is the promised one. He is our promise. As he stepped out on the word of Jesus, he began to walk on water. And he continued to walk on water until his perspective changed. And he began to look at the circumstances. He began to look at the appearance of things around him. And he began to see the waves and the wind and all of that going on. And how many of you know when he took his eyes off of Jesus, then he began to sink. Some of us in our circumstances have been sinking because we've had our eyes on the wrong thing. And if we will refocus and we will get our eyes on the word of God and on the promises of God and what God said he would do and what God can do and what God will do, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you know if he did it then, he'll do it today? If he did it for him, he'll do it for me. And we got to lay hold of that and have faith in that and trust in that. Some of our situations could begin to turn in the moment when we begin to see it from God's perspective. Because the scripture is clear that we as believers in 2 Corinthians 5, it says that we walk by faith and not by sight. That's talking about natural sight. That's what we can see with our physical eyes. If we're so absorbed with what's going on around us in the physical, if we talk about it, if we think about it, if we meditate on it, if we post it, if we do all of those things, how many of you know that that's going to be our perspective? That's what we're going to believe. We got to get out of that realm and we got to start seeing things from God's view. Hebrews 11:3 says this. I love this scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We know that, right? Genesis 1. Me and Jillian were watching Creation Story on her iPad before we went to bed the other night. And how did he create the world? What did he do? He spoke. We understand that God is a God of faith. Every fiber of his being is faith. He can't do anything but faith. And when he speaks, it's so 110% faith. When he speaks, it just happens. How many of you know when he speaks to us, it changes us? And he spoke, and when he spoke, the worlds came into existence. And do you know that they've never stopped? That now by science, they've been able to determine that the galaxies continue to be created. They continue to go forth. And that's why when God said his word never returns void. It always goes out and accomplishes what he sent it forth to do. But this scripture says that we understand by faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Which tells me this, everything that we can put our hands on, everything that we can see came from a place that we can't see. So what that's telling me is that the natural realm has been created out of the supernatural realm. And that everything that we see, every horse and every chariot and every member of that army that's out there, that's natural. But there is a realm that is higher than that realm. And that is the realm of the horses and the chariots of fire. And we have to live with the understanding that if we're going to be overcomers and if we're going to be people that can speak to a mountain and we can tell it to move, we don't figure we're going to move it with a backhoe. Our shovel, because those are things which are seen. The way we're going to move the mountain is by the supernatural, the things that we cannot see, but we believe that God said that if I tell that mountain to move, I don't know how it's going to move, and it's not going to move by any natural means, but God is going to intervene and cause that mountain to move. There is a realm that exists that supersedes what I can see with my natural eyes. And you've heard people say it like this, is what you see is... That's the way it is in life. What we see is what we get. What you see is what you get. In your walk, if you see death and you see depression, you see oppression, you see defeat, guess what? That's what's going to be your portion, because that's what you're going to believe in. That's what you set your heart on. But if we see victory, if we see breakthrough, if we see the supernatural, if we see the anointing, if we see the angelic host beckoning to the very word of God, how many of you know that's what we're going to have? Remember the little guy called David? Remember the circumstance that he walked up on when his father asked him to go and check on his brothers who were in the military? He wasn't deemed strong enough or old enough or able enough to be in the military at that time, although he had been anointed king, which there's a whole story in that. How many of you know he had been anointed king, but he was obedient and he was servant hearted in the meantime? He wasn't trying to make it happen. He was just trying to be obedient. But he went to check on his brothers, and when he got there, remember what was going on? He had the army of the Philistines over here, and he had the army of Israel over here. And every day at the same time, this giant would come out, and he would scream at the armies of Israel. And there wasn't a man in all of Israel's army, including the king, Saul, who could see it from God's perspective. Every one of them had been backed up into a corner by the voice of the enemy. And I want you to know this morning, if you've been backed up in a corner by the voice of the enemy, it's time to see it different. David walked up on the situation, and when he got there, he came with a different perspective. How many of you know he came with a different perspective? What he saw was different than what the thousands of those that were in the Israelite army saw. And he said, "Who is this guy?" He'd say, "Ooh, look at him, how big he is." You can't find anywhere in the scriptures where David talked the problem. He did not talk the problem. He did not analyze the problem. He spoke to the problem. He said, "I tell you something today, problem, giant, this day, I'm going to have your head. This day, you're going to be mine." He didn't talk about the problem. He talked to the problem. And the Holy Spirit's been is saying this morning that many of us have been talking about the problem way too long. We got to quit talking about the problem. We got to start talking to the problem. And we got to tell the facts, the truth. Because how many of you know the facts are subject to change? The facts are temporary. The facts are in the natural realm. And listen, we don't disregard the facts. I've said this before. You've heard me say it before. It's a pet peeve of mine. If you come up to somebody and their head's about five times as too big and they got snot pouring out their nose and they're sneezing on you and all that, and you say, "How are you doing?" I'm like, "Perfect, never been better." Well, that's not the facts. The facts are you're sick, right? The facts are there's a giant there. Y'all don't like y'all agree with me. Y'all being all Pentecostal. Y'all being all Pentecostal. I'll say it again. The facts are you're sick. But there is something that trumps the facts. The facts are subject to change. The facts are temporary. The facts are seasonal. And it's our job to see them that way and apply the perspective of God, to apply our faith, to apply the promises of God, which are truth, which has the ability to change the facts. The facts are, I may be sick. This is what Abraham said. Abraham said, "God said we were going to have a baby." Now, the facts are... it ain't going to come by me. And it ain't going to come by my wife. So that's the facts. But the scripture said, yet he believed God. That what God said was true. And what is true can trump the facts every time. Now look, many of us in this place today have some facts that we wish would change. But they're not going to change by us hoping and wishing they would change. They're going to change when we see it different. And they're going to change when we begin to see it different. We're going to begin to believe it different. And when we begin to believe it different, we're going to begin to stand differently. And we're going to be able to apply the truth of God that's going to change the facts of our life. So David stood up there and he saw it differently. And he said, "Today." He said, "The same God." He said, "I just want to tell you." He said, "I've learned some things throughout my life, King Saul." He said, "I don't need your armor." He said, I don't need what you can see, because what you can see isn't going to help me any. You may have the best Under Armour or whatever you've got out there. He said, but that is not going to help me one bit. What's going to help me is what I've found out. And that is the God that delivered me from the lion and the God that delivered me from the bear is also today going to be with me to deliver me from the Philistine. And how many of you know it matters that we win? It matters that we win. It matters that we stand up. It matters that we better get a good perspective. You know what? Because the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And if we don't see it from God's perspective, he will destroy your marriage. If we don't see it from God's perspective and we don't believe it the way God said to believe it, that child will be a prodigal. But if we will get a hold of the truth of God and we begin to speak to that problem and we tell that problem that it doesn't have the power because we have the keys. How many of you know we have the keys? Jesus said, I have all power and authority. And he's like, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to get seated at the right hand of the Father. And I'm going to give them to you and I'm going to pray that you use them. I'm going to be your intercessor. I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father. And oh yeah, I'm going to send the Spirit of God and he's going to dwell on the inside of you. So he's going to empower you and then you're going to have the tools. And with those two things together, the facts will change in your life if you will begin to apply the truth to them. Remember the 12 spies in the promised land. I'm not telling you any new stories out of the Bible, but remember the 12 spies in the promised land. The what land? Somebody repeat that back to me. The what land?
The promised land.
So God told Moses to send 12 spies into the
promised land.
So the land had already been
promised.
Same way in our lives.
Amen.
Same way in our lives. We already got the promise.
Yes.
We already got the promise. We already got the promise, but God said, send 12 spies in there. You think God had been pretty busy that week and he was needing 12 humans to go over there and figure out what was over there so he'd know what to do? Why did he send spies into the promised land? What does a spy do? A spy 00. I don't know what your number is. They went over there with a spyglass, right? They went over there to look, to see what they could see. God needed to know what his people were looking at. And he sent 12 people into the promised land. And before he sent them over there, he went ahead and gave a descript to them of what they were going to find when they got over there. Remember that? He said, okay, this is the promised land. It's going to be land flowing with milk and honey. And there's going to be a bunch of ites over there. I'm not going to try to name them all, but the Hivites and the Miss Elaine, what, all the ites. There's a bunch of different ites. They were all enemies of Israel. They were inhabiting the land. And God said, that's your promised land. There's milk and honey and all of the ites. Okay? He told them that up front. And then he said, go check it out. And so they went and checked it out. And then they came back. And they came back and 10 of them had one perspective and 2 of them had another perspective. 10 of them had a natural perspective and 2 of them had a supernatural perspective. 10 of them went over there and they said, you know what? There's milk and there's honey. But you know what else are over there? There's these ites. And God's like, exactly. Exactly what I told you. And they said this about it. And they said, we can't take this. Because they had a natural perspective. It was the promised land. It was the promised land. Is it possible to have a promise and not enter into the promised land? Did all 10 of them have the promise? But did they die in the wilderness? Yes, they did. They said, there's giants over there. And then they began to talk about what they saw. Let me tell you what we saw. We saw giants over there. We saw giant grapes and we saw giant houses and we saw giant crops and we saw giant giants. And you know what else we saw? We saw that in their sight, we looked like grasshoppers. Now, do you think that they sat down at the table and talked to the giants? And the giants said, y'all look like grasshoppers. No, the reality was is that they saw themselves like grasshoppers. They were measuring themselves against the natural problem. They were measuring themselves against the facts as they were presented themselves. And you know what? They said, we can't do this. We can't do this. And you know what? Many of us in here today have things in our life we put on the back burner or we've locked the door, we've closed the door, and we said, we just hadn't been able to do that. But it's time to open that door. It's time to look at that thing through Joshua and Caleb's eyes and say, there was land, it's a land flowing of milk and honey. And there were these huge grapes, and there were these huge crops, and there were these huge houses, and there were these huge giants, because they needed to be there. If they hadn't have been there, we wouldn't have had the huge crops and the huge houses and the huge grapes. God put them there to get things ready for us. And he promised that it was ours, and all we had to do was go in and take it away from them. So many times what we think is the problem isn't the problem. It's the springboard that God wants to give us to move us into our supernatural victory. Do you understand that they couldn't move into houses they hadn't built or eat crops that they hadn't planted unless somebody had done that? But because they saw the promised land for what God called it to be, how many of you know that they inherited their promised land? There's always going to be two perspectives. And what we choose to see is what we're going to choose to get. Real quickly, number two. Number one, there's always two perspectives. Number two, we have to learn to choose the right perspective. This isn't a real deep point. We have to learn to choose the right perspective. How we see is up to us. Our perspective is our choice. You and I determine the perspective that we gain in any situation, because only you and only me are in control of our eyes. Only us. Did anybody have the Holy Spirit tear your eyelids back this morning? Or did I have some alarm clock this morning? An hour. Y'all did so good to get here on time this morning. How many of you know that God doesn't make us do anything? He invites us to do it with him. He invites us to do it with him. He gives us the grace to do it. He gives us the Spirit of God and the empowerment to do it. But we have to choose it in our life. Sometimes that has to be on a moment by moment basis, because the circumstances are speaking so loudly, and there are voices that are speaking so loudly. And sometimes those voices can be the coming from the people that are closest to you. Did you know that? Think back to David. Who was it? Eliab and his brothers. And they're like, who do you think you are? What are you doing here anyway? But we've got to learn to tune out the voice of the enemy, and we've got to tune into the voice of God. And we've got to choose to fix our eyes on the promise. And if we'll choose to fix our eyes on the promise, we'll have the perspective of God. Matthew 6:22 says it like this, that our eye is the lamp of our body. If our eyes are good, our whole body will be full of light. But if our eyes are bad, our whole body is full of darkness. What is darkness? Anything from the enemy. Doubt, unbelief, fear, anxiety, oppression, depression. If those things are ruling and reigning in our life, it's because our eyes are bad. Our eyes are bad. Our eyes are fixed on the wrong things. We're setting our eyes on the wrong things. We're opening our ears to the wrong things. But if we will set our eyes on light, that is faith and trust and victory and our confidence in God, then our whole body will be full of light. Because how many of you know that what comes in our eyes fills our heart? What comes in our eyes fills our heart. The scripture, that's why the scripture tells us in Proverbs, above all else, what does it say? Do guard it. You better guard it, because whatever this is full of is going to determine where we end up in life. It's going to determine what we end up, where we end up in life. And what we look at goes into our heart, and we have to guard our eye gate, and we have to guard our heart gate, and we got to make sure we're looking at the right things and we're listening to the right things so that we can believe the right things in Jesus' name. We have to guard our vision to guard our hearts. So 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us this. So we fix. Everybody say fix. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. This is such a powerful verse. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen. Not what I can see, not what circumstances are saying, not what everybody around me is telling me are the facts. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. Isn't that a good word? What is seen is temporary. That means it's subject to change. That means it's seasonal. That means it was put there. Those giants were put there, but they weren't intended to stay there. What is seen is temporary. But what is not seen is eternal. What is not seen is the hand of God with our physical eyes. So we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author. That means the founder, the one who gives it, the author and the completer, the perfecter of our faith. And so God is saying today that in your situation and in your circumstance, you got to fix your eyes on Jesus. You got to fix your eyes on His Word. And you got to take them off of circumstances. And you got to take them off of the facts. And if you do that, you will find that faith begins to arise in your heart. And you will begin to believe things that you didn't believe before. And when you begin to believe things that you didn't believe before, how many of you know that things are subject to change? Romans 8:5 says this, for those who live according to the flesh or to the natural realm, they set their minds and their eyes on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And nobody makes that choice but you and I. Oh, do I have to have a prayer time? Do I have to read my Bible today? Do I have to go to church? No, not if you want to die. Right? Do I have to believe all that stuff? No, you don't have to. Not if you don't want to be healed. We have the choice whether we walk in the natural or we walk in the supernatural. Whether we walk in the flesh or... And the Bible says when we choose the flesh and when we choose the natural and we choose the perspective of what I can see with my natural eyes, it's always going to produce death. But if we will be people of the Spirit, it says that we will have life. That sound good? Okay, multiple choice question. Everybody get ready to get out your pens. Okay, here we go. I think it was somewhere in the Bible it said, I set before you today, here's a table. Here's multiple choice. A, death. B, life. Which one do you want? Choose you this day, which one you want? Cursing or blessing? Which one do you want? And so many times we choose death and cursing by default. Because we don't choose to walk in the Spirit. We don't choose to fix our eyes on Jesus. We don't choose to engage His Word. We don't choose to connect to His body. We don't choose to obey Him and give when He's called us to give. Do you follow what I'm saying? So if we don't choose righteousness and we don't choose truth and we don't choose faith, by default, we're choosing the alternative. And it's at work in our lives. There is no middle ground. We're either growing or we're dying. We're either growing or we're dying. And it's totally up to us. It's our choice. It's our choice. How many of you want to choose victory? How many of you want to choose a win? How many of you want to choose a turnaround? How many of you want to choose a breakthrough? Then we got to begin to choose to see it the way that God sees it. Elisha never got up and he never went and looked with his physical eyes because his eyes were fixed on the unseen. They were fixed on the supernatural. They were fixed on the Spirit. So my question to you this morning is this. What does God see and what do I see? In your life today, what does God see when he looks at that situation and what do you see? I love that part of, I love that video clip. That was a message in itself. How many know that God doesn't look at the things we look at? But if we're going to be overcomers, we're going to have to be a people that flip that script. We're going to have to be a people that God can say, I look at what they look at because they're looking at what I look at. Because what they look at determines what they believe. And what they believe, number three, the last point is, let me flip over here. Is where we're going to end up. Our perspective will determine our ultimate destination. Our perspective will determine our ultimate destination. You guys can go ahead and start playing some music if you will. We're going to close out. I got the mic early so I can't preach longer. That's not fair. I told myself I was going to be through at 11:45. Our perspective determines our ultimate destination. Isn't this good news? I know you already know all this. Somebody's telling me after early service, they said, that was good. That's just what I needed to hear. I said, me too. I remember when I was young and I was feeling a call to ministry and I was kind of running from God like nobody else in here, I'm sure, but I was. And my dad's a preacher. I finally told my dad one day, I said, Dad, I can't get up there and tell people, because my view was always that the person up here had it all together. And they were preaching from a place of perfection. And that you had to get it perfect before you could preach it or teach it or talk it, whatever you want to call it. And I said, he told me, he said, Stephen, he said, do you know how many times I get up on a Sunday morning and I'm preaching to myself? He said, I'm speaking what I need. He said, we don't we don't point each other to ourselves. We point people to Jesus. We point people to the truth. So listen, when the enemy tries to tell you that you don't have any good advice for people, say, no, I don't, but God does. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said he was choosing a lifestyle choice, and he was living in a lifestyle choice. And he said, what do you think about that? And I said, well, it really don't matter what I think about it. It matters what God thinks about it. And if we can get in tune with what God says about things in life, how many of you know that's a good place to be? So if you're not perfect, join the club. If you're not perfect out there in your daily walk, and you have the opportunity to speak truth into somebody's life, you're not pointing them to you. You're not saying you have it all together. You're saying, but I know the one that does, and I'm striving for him. And I'm striving for this in my life. And matter of fact, I don't have all this together in my life. I'm working on it, but it's changing me, and it's changing my situation. So I love the prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, and this is going to be my closing scripture. This is what Paul prayed, and this is, I believe, the Holy Spirit's prayer for us today. This is the Holy Spirit's prayer for us today. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. I pray in your situation today, in your circumstance, in the midst of your battle, just close your eyes right there. I know the percentages. The percentages say that a large majority of the people in this room, even though you dressed up and came to church this morning, have intense battles going on some front in your life. That's the reality. But if we can begin to view that thing with the open eyes of the Spirit, if we can take the contact lenses, if you will, of faith and put them over our eyes, and we can begin to look at that thing not as it is, but as what God sees in it, then things in our life are about to change. I just want you to know that by the time the sun goes down tonight, some of you can be out from under spirits of oppression. Some of you can be out from under spirits of anxiety and worry and fear and doubt and unbelief because you take your eyes off the giant and you put them on Jesus. You take them off the ways. You make the conscious choice today. Say, God, if that's you, just lift up your hands before the Lord. Just lift up your hands before the Lord and say, God, open the eyes of my heart. God, open the eyes of my heart. God, open the eyes of my heart, that the eyes of my understanding, that the eyes of my heart would be enlightened. In the name of Jesus, we break spirits of blindness off of our hearts and off of our lives. Blind spots in our life, God, that we don't even know are there. Things that we've been talking and things that we've been looking at. I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm just talking about natural things. Blind spots in our life, God. God, that you would reveal them to us, God. That you would reveal them to us, God. And God, that you would open our eyes. You would heal our blindness, God. You would heal our perspective, God. God, that you would cause us to be a people, God, that see it through your eyes. And God, that is the eye of faith. And that we would be people that lay hold of it, God. And we can say that those that are with us are more than those that are against us. And this thing is going to change. This is defeat on the way, but it's defeat for our enemy. And God, we thank you for it. Receive it by faith right now. Receive it by faith. Hoping and wishing things are going to change isn't going to change them. They're going to change when we choose faith. They're going to change when we choose God's perspective. They're going to change when we lay hold of his word and his promise. You can't do it for me. I can't do it for you. But in this moment, lay hold of it by faith. Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, thank you for leading us into all truth. Cause your word to be planted and give fruit within our lives so that we'll never be the same, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.